Ephesians chapter number 4. Go to verse number 11. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Our Father, I pray that you would bless us today. I pray that we would listen to you. We need to hear from you. Lord, I pray that you'd guide me as I preach. I pray that you'd guide us as we listen to your word. And I pray that we would make sure that our lives are lined up with your will, and your word is your will. So guide us into it this morning, that we might live a life that pleases you always. In Christ's name, amen. We have already noted in this series that God said to make the church a priority. But please understand that the church is not simply an organization that you join. It is not a stage to attend a show, nor is it a social club for like-minded people. The church is to be the visible manifestation of Jesus Christ in and to the world. So God doesn't simply want you to join, attend, or even participate in church. God said, what? Be the church. Be the church. Pastor went to a church in the Midwest that was dying. And he went there, and he was determined to get this thing back and moving again and back where it should be. And he would come every week to the pulpit, every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, and preach his heart out and do what his very best to try to revive this dying church. And it seemed like nothing worked. Nothing ever came to any fruition. And finally, he had an idea, and he put an ad in the newspaper, and he said that the church had died, and the funeral would be Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. In his amazement, the entire place was packed. And as they got there this morning, there was a casket down front. And this pastor got up and he preached a funeral service for the deceased. At the end, he walked down to the front, he opened up the casket, the top part of it, and then asked every member to walk by and view the deceased before they left. And they all came peddling by, and as they looked in the casket, there'd be a gasp, and they'd walk out, and they'd look down, gasp, and they walked out, and the curiosity for everybody else was just growing and growing and growing. As the others left, they were crying. But one by one, as they got there and looked into the casket, what the pastor had placed there was a mirror. And the church that had died was them. They had died. You see, church is not a spectator sport. God said, be the church. Be the church. From the passage that we read and a few verses on we'll get into, I've chosen three words to describe what God is telling us in these verses. He told us to perfect, perform, and produce. Perfect, perform, and produce. Number one, perfect. Look what he says in verse number 12 of Ephesians chapter number 4. For the perfecting of the saints. Okay, God has given to us pastors and teachers. That's me, the pastor teacher of the Colonial Hills Baptist Church. God has given pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. The word perfect there means to restore to original condition or to complete, to make fit. It is also described as the word equip, to equip. The word was used in medicine for the setting of a bone. It was perfected. It was brought back to its original condition. The word was used in fishing in terms of the fishermen mending their nets. They were equipping those nets to be of use again, to be of service once again. He tells us here that he's given us pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. It is a perfecting, a completing, an equipping for a purpose. And God wants us to be perfected. So how does God do that? Well, Scripture gives us four ways that God perfects us. Scripture gives us four ways that he equips us to do what we're supposed to be doing. The first one is stress. The first one is stress. Go to James chapter number 1. We're coming back, of course, but James chapter number 1. We covered this a while back as we went through the book of James. But look what he says here again. James chapter 1, verse number 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. The stress that James is talking about here are the testings that God sends into our lives that he might go ahead and make us stronger and make us what we should be and equip us and perfect us for service. Think about getting in shape for a moment. Think about you're going to get back in shape. You're going to start lifting weights. You're going to start muscle building. You're going to start doing... What do you actually do when you're building muscle, when you're getting back into shape, when you're starting to do exercise? You are actually, in the exercises, breaking down your muscles. And then you rest so that you can build them back up again. And then you break them down and you build them back up again. You break them down, you build them back up again. That's what happens in testings. That's why God sends these stressful times into our lives so that he might break us down a little bit to build us back stronger. He breaks us down to build us back stronger. No one likes the breaking down part. Exercise is hard. It's tough. Testings is difficult. But God says, I'm sending them into your life to make you complete, equipped. I want to perfect you. So God uses stress. God uses suffering. God uses suffering. 1 Peter chapter number 5. 1 Peter chapter number 5. Go to verse number 10. 1 Peter chapter number 5. Verse number 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. After you've suffered a while, God's perfected you, equipped you. He uses sufferings sometimes. None of us like to go through hard times. None of us like to go through difficult situations, let alone painful, suffering ones. In the years that I've been saved, I've met a lot of people who have gone through some things that are very difficult, very hard, and they're some of the wisest people I've ever met. Because God has used that suffering to equip them, to establish them in the faith, so they will trust God more. They will help others more. God is equipping them. How about the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12? Or you don't need to go there, but he says, God gave me a thorn in the flesh that I begged him to take away from me. And God said no. He said, my grace is sufficient. Paul said, most gladly, therefore, I will glory in my necessities, in my infirmities, in my reproaches for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then he's strong.
God uses suffering. God uses stress. Those are things that He does. Those are His doing. And it helps us to trust, to cooperate, and allow God to do what He is doing, because our God knows what is best. He is perfecting us for something He wants us to do. The third thing He uses is Scripture. God uses Scripture. Go back to Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4. And He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. Gave them for the perfecting of the saints. God gave the church pastor teachers to perfect the saints. Now, how do they do that? Through the Word of God. Amen? It is my job to stand up here week after week and to proclaim to you, thus saith the Lord. It is my job to stand before you and give you the Word of God. Not tell you my opinions, not give you the latest news stories, but to tell you what God has for you today. It is my job to preach and teach the Word of God to you. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Paul, in writing to his young preacher boy, Timothy, the pastor of the church at Ephesus, he tells him in 2 Timothy chapter number 3, verse number 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. I charge thee therefore. Now, whenever you see the word therefore in the Bible, you're supposed to find out what it's therefore. It's a wrap-up word. It's a concluding word that tells us, because I've what I've just said, now do this. Now, if you have the tendency to write in your Bible, put a parenthesis before the word before and after the word kingdom. Because the rest of that verse is a parenthesis. You're doing this before God. He tells them, because all Scripture is given by inspiration, because it is profitable, because it will perfect you, it will equip you, it will make you everything you need to be for God, I charge thee therefore, preach the word. Is verse number 2. That's what He's charging him to do. He's going to do this all before God. That's what the parenthesis is. You're doing this before the Lord Jesus Christ. But understand, what I'm charging you to do is preach the word. It is profitable. It is God's word. It is inspired by Him, and it will give you everything you need to be equipped, to be perfected, to be made complete in Him. As I've said, it is my sacred responsibility to teach you the Word of God. There are a lot of things that I spend my time doing or could spend my time doing, but my most important task is studying and praying so that I can preach and teach to you the Word of God. Since that is my greatest responsibility, then it is your sacred responsibility to listen, to learn, and to live the Word of God. Not just the parts you like or the parts you're comfortable with. All of it. And folks, you can't get too much of the Word of God. That's why we do church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You can't get too much of the Bible. I will teach it to you. You get here and learn it. Love it. Live it for God's honor and glory. I was reading something that just kind of reminded me. Some preacher was talking to another preacher and was saying, you know, there's too many empty seats. There's too many people who aren't here in church. And the preacher said, don't worry when you preach about the empty seats. Worry about the ones that are full. They need to be taught the Word of God and give it to them truthfully. Give it to them clearly. Make sure they understand it. And then it's their responsibility to live it out. God uses stress, God uses suffering, God uses scripture, and God uses supplication. And by that, that's my S word for the word prayer. God uses prayer to perfect us. Go to Acts chapter 6, verse number 4. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Now understand what's taking place here in Acts chapter number 6. In Acts chapter number 6, the church is growing. The church is getting big. They're helping people. They're meeting needs. And they're working with widows there and making sure they got all their needs met. And the Grecian widows there in our King James Version means the ones who are Hellenistic, the ones who grew up in a Greek-speaking Jewish household. The Hebrew ones are the ones who grew up in a Hebrew-speaking Jewish household. We're talking about all Jews here, but ones are of Greek culture because that was the language of the world. The others are Hebrew culture because they held on to that. And the ones of the Grecian culture were saying, you guys are neglecting our widows. Why aren't you taking care of our widows? And the apostle stood up and said, wait a minute. We can't do all of this. We need help. We can't take care of those. We need to devote ourselves to the ministry of prayer and the word. So let's get some guys filled with the Holy Spirit who will do what is right to make sure the job is getting done. Because the pastors needed to devote themselves to prayer and to study the word of God, because their most important task was giving out the word of God. Go to the book of Colossians chapter number 4. Colossians chapter number 4. Verse number 12, Colossians chapter 4, verse number 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you, and them that are in Laodicea, and them that are in Hierapolis. Understand that Paul is talking about Epaphras here, who said Epaphras doesn't stop praying for you, that you might be perfected, completed, equipped to serve God in what you do. The first two, stress and suffering, are God's doing. They're God's job. These last two are ours, yours and mine. Scripture and supplication, the preaching of God's word and prayer. And if we will make sure that, God will equip us. He will perfect us for a reason. And that reason is number two, perform. Perform. Go back to Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Not only are we supposed to be perfected, we are supposed to perform. We are supposed to do something with what we've been given. He says here in verse number 12, for the perfecting of the saints, understand that means to do the work of the ministry. Many people read that wrong and think that he gave the pastors to do the work of the ministry. No, he gave the pastors to equip the people so that all of us could do the work of the ministry. It is all of our job to do the work of the ministry. Perfected, equipped. And that perfecting, that equipping is for a purpose. And that purpose is ministry. The word ministry means service. The fact of the matter is, every one of us have been called to the ministry with a little M. Only some of us get called to the ministry with a capital M. That's God's doing. God has called us all to serve Him. So let's go through this like you're writing a term paper, like you're writing an article for a newspaper. Who is supposed to serve? All of us, the saints, the equipping of the saints to do the work of the ministry. Now, who are the saints? Those are the really holy among us, right? The really spiritual. No, that's all of us. You've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You have been set apart for Him, sanctified, and you are to serve Him. Amen. We are to serve God. Who us, we. Let's bring it down even further than that, and let's say me. Who's to serve? Okay, that was weak. Let's try it again. Who is to serve?
Me.
That's who's supposed to do it. Who is me? What? To do work. To do work. That's what he says here. For the equipping of the saints, perfecting the saints, to do the work. To do work. It's actually work to serve God. Actually work to do what is right. It's actually work to do the ministry. There is work involved. Once again, who's supposed to do it? To do work. How? Well, the word there is ministry. It means service. We're to serve. We are to serve. Where? Well, the body of Christ is mentioned. What's the body of Christ? Church. We are supposed to serve, work, in and through the church. When? All the time. Now and always. It ought to be running through your mind all of the time. What can I do to help? What can I do? How can I make it better? Who can I teach? Who can I encourage? Who can I personally help? Who can I be a blessing to? Who can I serve with? Because you never want to do ministry alone. You must put into action what you have learned. Perform. Do work. This next week, I want you to do a little experiment at home. When you go home this afternoon, I want you to take a sponge. Find one anywhere you can. Find that sponge. Fill it with water. Do not squeeze it out. Set it on your sink. And leave it there for the week. I'll bet you it won't last a week. What's going to happen to that sponge? It's going to stink. Why? It took in. It never gave out. There's too many Christians just like that. They want to sit and learn and 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 sit and learn, but never tell anybody anything else. Never share what they've learned, never serve, never do any work, never get out, but they take in and take in and take in and take out, and eventually they go ahead and say it. They stink. They stink. Why? They're not doing what they're supposed to do. They're not serving. They're not doing the ministry. They're just taking in. But we are supposed to be perfected, equipped to do a work, to perform. They have to go together. Go to Acts chapter number 2. Acts chapter number 2. Look at verse number 41. Acts chapter 2, verse number 41. This is what we've just said in action. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Guess what? They're learning. They're being perfected. They're being equipped. And fellowship and in breaking of bread and prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. This was a group of people who wasn't satisfied with attending church. They wanted to be a blessing. They wanted to follow God. They were being equipped to serve, and they wanted to be the church. Didn't have a fancy building. They just met. And they served each other. They were the church. And because they were the church, the unsaved were drawn to them and to Christ through them. They performed once they were perfected. Third word, back in Ephesians chapter number 4, is the word produce. Produce. Perfect, perform, produce. Verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, to do the work of the ministry, to the building of the body of Christ. That's what the word edifying means. It means the building up of. So that's what verse number 12 is telling us. For the perfecting of the saints, to do the work of the ministry, to the edifying of the body of Christ. To the building up of the body of Christ. Understand that this all takes place for a purpose. To build up. When you do this, number one, you are built up. You personally are built up. When you are perfected and performing, both, you are built into the image of Christ. Both learning and doing are necessary in the building process. Somehow we tend to think that if I just learn, that's enough. If I just learn it and understand it, that's enough. No, we learn it to live it. We learn it to give it out. We learn it to serve our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We've got to be perfected and then perform the works of service, to do the work of the ministry. Look at verse number 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We do this until we are all just like Christ. Not just learn, but learn and do. Jesus Christ came to do. He said he didn't come to be ministered unto, but to minister. Serve and give his life a ransom for many. And in order to be like Jesus Christ, and that's the goal for us, to be like Christ, we've got to both learn and do. Now, what do we call people who must be served and will never serve? Let's see, the word spoiled brats comes to mind. Can I get an amen? On the other hand, there are some people who serve only when they can be saved. What do we call those kind of people? Narcissists. I do what I do to be seen. I do what I do so everybody notices. I do what I do because someone's going to pat me on the back and say, what a wonderful person I am. Both of those are wrong. Both of those are completely unbiblical. Amen. We are to learn and do, be perfected and perform. And when that happens, you are built up. Because he said, you are to learn, be equipped to do the work of the ministry. Amen. You're built up. When you do it, others are built up. Others are built up. I said earlier, don't do ministry alone. Don't do it. Get someone to go with you, to help you, to be by your side as you're doing whatever it is God is calling you to do. Get someone there. They will be built up simply by helping you do what you're doing. Amen. And the person or person or persons that you are serving, helping, ministering to, they will be built up. Amen. That's the goal. To build myself and everyone else into the image of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what we're supposed to do. Make sure I'm growing to be like Christ, and everyone else around me is growing to be like Christ. That takes work. That takes service. I've got to learn, and I've got to do with it. It's amazing how much you actually learn when you put into practice what you've learned. You learn even more. You're built up. Others are built up. And the church is built up. The church is edified. It's built up. Look again at verse number 12. For the perfecting of the saints, to do the work of the ministry, to the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. We'll get to verse number 17 in a moment. Verse number 16 in a moment. Understand that when we are perfected, we're equipped to perform and we do the work of the ministry, and we're producing that in ourselves and in other people around us, there will be some evident things that take place. The first thing is unity. Unity. Verse 14, or verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith. You see, when I'm concerned that you're like Christ, and you're concerned that you're like Christ, and you're concerned that others around you are like Christ, that is a unifying effect on everybody. What's there to fight about? What's there to get angry about? What's there to get upset about? Nothing. We're all working for the same thing. We're all learning so we can grow like Christ. We're all serving so we can be like Christ. And we're helping teach and grow other people so that we can all be like Christ. It brings us all together like nothing else can. Amen. We've got to come together and make sure we are doing this for everyone we possibly can. Bring them to the image of Jesus Christ. Amen. Unity. Knowledge. Second thing that happens. Look what he says again. Verse number 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Knowledge. Now the knowledge here is not the knowledge of salvation, where you know Jesus Christ as Savior. It is the knowledge of relationship, where you not only know about Christ, but you start to know Christ. And because you know Christ, you love Christ. And because you love Christ, you trust Christ. And in trusting is service. That brings us back full circle, and we start moving forward again. We draw closer to Him in knowledge. That knowledge leads us to love Him. That love leads us to trust Him. That trust leads us to serve Him. And it starts all over again. Amen. Unity. Knowledge. Maturity. Maturity. Verse 14. He says, verse 15, unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. We might mature and be like Christ until we all measure up to the stature and fullness of Christ. I'm sure by now you've heard the cliche, raising the bar. What does it mean? Well, it means you set your goals higher. You've set your expectations higher. You've raised it to the point where that will make you and everyone around you better. Well, God has raised the bar. We're not supposed to be the best me we can be. We're supposed to be like Jesus. The bar is not me. The bar is not you. Never has been, never will be. The bar is Jesus Christ. That's where we're shooting. That's how high we need to go. And we're not there yet. None of us. So we can't stop learning, and we can't stop doing. We can't stop being made perfect or performing what God wants us to do because we're not there yet, and there's a whole lot of people in our area who are nowhere close either. Amen? Hey, it's job security. We have a lot to do. He said, grow up in Christ. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about Christ and our becoming like him. He said to speak the truth in love that we might grow up in him. Speak the truth in love. Truth and love are very important. Let's try that again. Truth and love are very important. You see, truth without love is harsh. But love without truth is mush. That's why he said you must speak the truth in love. When believers are being perfected and they are performing the work, it produces a unity, a knowledge, and a maturity because the body is being nourished from every part. And that's what verse number 16 is talking about. When everyone is doing what they're supposed to do and everyone is being perfected, everyone is performing, everyone is adding to it, and it is all being nourished from every part in the body, and it edifies itself. It builds itself up because every individual member, every individual part is doing what it's supposed to be doing. Amen. The church is not supposed to be a well-oiled machine. The church is a body. It is a living organism of which you are a member, an organ, a part. And God said what? Be the church. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you have set this up as the way church is supposed to work. You have set this up as the way we're supposed to behave and grow. I pray that we would submit to it. We're supposed to be perfected, equipped to do the work of the ministry. to the edifying of the body of Christ. We need to be built up into the likeness of Christ. Others around us need to be built up in the likeness of Christ. We've got our work cut out for us, but Lord, you've promised to empower us to do what we need to do. That's why we need to learn and do. So guide and direct in all of our decisions right now. I pray that you would speak to each of us individually and help us to understand, I've got to be a part of it. It's not we. It's not the church. It's too generic. I need to do my part. I need to be equipped. I need to serve. Pastor, work in us, that you might work in and through our church. Guide and direct these decisions. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. With every head bowed, every eye closed. You say, Pastor, I'm saved. I've trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I know my sins are forgiven. I know I'm on my way to heaven. I'm a saint. I've trusted Christ as my Savior. I'm saved and I know it. Put your hand up as a testimony to that fact. You're saved, you know it. Put your hand up. Amen. God bless you. That's great. You can put your hands down. Amen. Amen. Christian, the who is you. Doesn't matter what the person sitting next to you is doing. Doesn't matter what the person sitting down the row from you is doing. It doesn't matter whether they're in your family or not. The who is you. What does God want from you? Those three words. Perfect, perform, produce. All three will be done, and then we'll be made like Christ. And the others around us can be made like Christ. Then the body is edified. You say, Pastor, pray for me. God spoke to me today. I want to make sure that I'm doing my part, that I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, that I'm being perfected, I'm performing, I'm producing the image of Christ in my life and others. Pastor, God spoke to me today. Would you pray for me? Anyone like that, put your hand up, put it back down. Pastor, pray for me. Amen. God bless you. Amen. 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 God bless you. Anyone else, just put your hand up, put it back down. Pastor, pray for me. God has spoken to me today. Slip your hand up, put it back down. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Maybe you're here. You've never been saved. You've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You don't know for certain you're going to heaven. You don't know that your sins have been forgiven. You don't know Christ. Pastor, I don't know. I'm not sure. Would you pray for me? Anyone like that? Put your hand up, put it back down. Pastor, pray for me. We love you here. We want to pray for you. Christ loves you. He died for you. His blood was shed that you might have the forgiveness of sins. His body was broken, paying your sin penalty in full. He didn't remain dead. He arose victoriously on the third day, proving he is the Savior. Not a Savior, the Savior. You say, Pastor, I don't know. I'm not sure. Would you pray for me? Anyone like that? Put your hand up, put it back down. Our Father, thank you for our salvation. Thank you, Lord, for the cross, that we can come to you just as we are, and you've promised to change us. Lord, help us to become more like Jesus Christ every single day. Help us to be perfected, equipped, to perform, to do the work of the ministry, that we will produce a mature body of Christ. Guide, direct, and bless in all the decisions that we make. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen.